Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
From the high desert of the great American Southwest, I get you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be. Friday night, Saturday morning, once again. From the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Good morning in the islands, south into South America, north to the bowl, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. Open lines all night long tonight. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. The week in review, what you think is coming. Oh, I do have one little item for you. Coming up on the 23rd, that would be 1 week from tonight at the stroke of midnight in my time zone, we are going to receive a call from, not make one to, because that would disclose his secret location and secret identity. We will receive a call from Victor. Now, who is Victor? Well, you may recall there was footage shown, like 2 or 3 seconds of it, of an alien supposedly being interrogated at Area 51. And they had various experts in that area. If you can have an expert in that area, Whitley Strieber was one of them. Very emotional about what he saw. And I've got a little gem for you this morning. The second photograph, and this has been seen nowhere else as far as I know, is up on my website as of this moment. It is of the same alien, obviously, with a doctor with white gloves, and they have blanked out the doctor's face, tending to, or poking, or prodding, or doing something to this creature. Well, photograph number 2 arrived today. And, as I normally would, I put it immediately up on the website, so if you want to see it, it has not ever been seen before. It is at www.artbell.com. Take a look. Let me know what you think. Next week we get an opportunity to interview Victor. Now, he will be using a voice-changing devices. Maybe he will be using plural. I don't know. He will be using a voice-changing or modifying device. And they work actually quite well. And as a matter of fact, I like mine so much. I went out and got one after I heard it someplace or another. I can't recall when I went out and got a voice changer. I don't know, about a year ago. So that whenever I want, I can modify my voice. And actually, to give you an idea of what can be done, I can modify my voice in more ways than one. For example, I can take it anywhere I want, very low, or I can begin to take it very high until you can barely tell that I have male parts at all. So, he'll be using one of those. We'll be interviewing him at the midnight, the stroke of midnight hour on the 23rd. And I wonder if any of you think that I should bring somebody along to do the interview, maybe Whitley. He's very emotional about this. He might not want to do it. Maybe somebody else. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, if you want to see the second photograph, and I think this is one of the ones that was particularly disturbing to Whitley, it's there now. The space shuttle has successfully docked with Mir. And there is a new American, actually a British-born, I guess, American, going on Mir. Now, I am still not satisfied that Mir is safe. NASA, of course, went through great amounts of toil and trouble doing interviews all last week to say NASA was, say that Mir was safe as far as NASA was concerned. where they would never send another American up there. I don't know how I feel about that. I think perhaps they protest a bit much. Anyway, I got a fax today from somebody who, Mr. Rosenthal, as you might imagine, had a fax blizzard back in Washington, and I mean blizzard. And I had one fax from somebody who said he talked to Mr. Rosenthal's boss, who said that Mr. Rosenthal got angry, very angry, and threw all of them in the trash. So that is as much feedback as I have had from our Mr. Rosenthal thus far. He's angry, and he has trashed all our faxes. Now, of course, that word comes from a listener, somebody who had managed to get in touch with not Mr. Rosenthal, because he wasn't talking to any of you, I guess, but his boss. So he got angry and trashed them all. President Clinton issued the nation's apology to the eight remaining, that's only eight folks, remaining survivors of the Tuskegee experiment Friday. The president said the U.S. government did something, quote, deeply and profoundly, unquote, wrong. I wonder why they put the unquote prior to the wrong part. The president said, I apologize and I am sorry. The original experiment involved 400 black men who were left untreated for syphilis, so that we might understand medically what occurs when a black man is not treated for syphilis. And by the way, the answer is the same thing that happens to a white man who is left untreated for syphilis. That's the answer. And you know what it made me wonder? It makes me wonder what we're going to be apologizing for, oh, say, 50 years from now. What do you think a president 50 years from now is going to have to come on the television or the 3D machine by then, the holographic image generator, and apologize for? That, by God, back in 1997, we were barbarians, ladies and gentlemen, in this country. And we have to apologize. What for, though? Well, we can only imagine today what they're doing. If they did this, then, of course, Tuskegee isn't the only example. We went through this the other night. You know, our government fed plutonium to pregnant women and children and all kinds of things so that we could check the effects of that. Remember, Hazel O'Leary, the energy secretary, informed us about that one. So today, we apologized for Tuskegee. And my mind then goes to, okay, 50 years from now, what do you think our president then, whoever it might be, or leader or dictator, will have to apologize for? Which is another way of asking what dastardly stuff you think we're doing at the moment. Oh, you don't think we're doing anything, really? You think we have become like the driven snow, pure? I have a bridge for you, and I'll even sell you the water that runs underneath it. O.J. Simpson, getting this now just right, wearing ragged pants with a hole in the back, says he has no money, and he's going to have to move out of his mansion. All because of the wrongful death damage award against him, the $33.5 million. Now, his lawyer says he has in fact earned about $400,000 since the beginning of the year, and this is May, right? So, I think that was a nice touch. When you do a press conference to indicate to the world that you're broke. You go and you find a pair of old pants with a hole in the back. You do that for press conferences where you're talking about judgments against you and visits to the IRS. Defense Secretary William Cohen is urging a very reluctant Congress to close more military bases. Haven't we done about enough of that? Haven't we closed enough bases yet? The new Miss USA is beautiful. From Hawaii, I guess. And she is a real winner. That is the new Miss Universe. Actually, she was Miss USA, and now, of course, is she took it all, folks. The USA took it all. This is a very interesting, disturbing Associated Press story, indicating that the commander of NATO and U.S. forces in Europe said Monday, he is checking a report that, get this now, folks, recent malfunctions have switched Russian nuclear missiles to, quote, combat mode, unquote, on several occasions. Reports we've seen up to this date have been that the nuclear warheads have been properly cared for. Now, bear in mind it says up until this date. But this brings another bit of information, and we're going to have to assess and look into it. Now, there's a lot more to the story, but that is the nutshell. Now, of course, they're claiming they have codes and other things that would prevent a launch. But why am I not real warm and fuzzy hearing that Russian ICBMs have been automatically, I say again, automatically switching themselves into combat mode? In the world of things that are okay, that's not, in my opinion. All right, look, this is going to be open lines tonight, and anything you want to talk about, anything at all, is fair game. It is, I warn you, a Friday night, Saturday morning, and, you know, that means you better buckle in, because when I open the lines and I don't screen calls, truly, truly, anything can happen. We'll get the numbers out and begin this odyssey, and you never know where it's going, in a moment. All right, prepare for the unexpected. For here we go. West of the Rockies, out here, the toll-free number is, all the way out to the islands, 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, back there, the number is 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. And then, internationally, wherever you might be in this wide world, you can actually call us toll-free. The number is 1... Well, forget the 1. Why am I always want to put the 1 there. What you do is get hold of the AT&T operator in your country and have her dial 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. And it will not cost you one penny to call from anywhere in the world. Now, speaking of things worldwide, this coming Monday night, Tuesday morning from Australia, as promised, comes Stan Dale. And there are a number of urgent warnings and so forth on his website, so he's got a lot to say. Stan Dale, backed by popular request, My network really loves it when I have guests on from Australia and Britain and, you know, various locations around the country, but we do it around the world. So having said all that, you've got the numbers, and away we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes, sir. Turn your radio off, please.
Oh, I did, sir.
Good.
Oh, it's my pleasure to speak to you.
And where are you?
I'm Mark, calling from West Dallas, Wisconsin.
All right, Mark. Mark, I hear your radio on again.
Honey, turn it down, please.
Must have a little rubber thing on it where it bounces back there.
I just handed my wife the radio. I can't believe I got through to you. I wanted her to hear it.
Well, all right.
Well, I just want to, you know, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea in space.
Yeah.
And what a you know, a great thing. Have you had a chance to see the movie The Fifth Element?
I'm dying to see the movie The Fifth Element.
Would you like to hear Mark's scale of 1 to 10?
I would, sir.
A 6.
A 6?
A 6.
That sounds... I would put that in the almost in the disappointed territory. Not quite, I guess, but...
It's a 50-50.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well,
you want to say...
No, do not tell us anything that gives away the plot.
Oh, of course not.
But you could perhaps, no pun intended, give us some idea of what element disappointed you.
Oh, geez. Just the plot line, the story development, the character development, things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's worth it to see it once, maybe, if you really enjoy space science fiction.
How frequently do you watch a movie? How many movies are there that you can think of that you have watched multiple times?
As far as...
I mean, some movie that you love so much that you just keep watching it again and again, like a record you play that you love. You know?
I like the Star Trek series.
Uh-huh.
You know, 1 through 6 or whatever they're up to. Star Wars series. You know, stuff on that scale.
Okay, well, if that's true, then that renders more... kind of underscores your opinion of The Fifth Element. I, you know, the leaders on TV are absolutely incredible.
Yes. Oh, it's got very spectacular special effects and, you know, scenes, but you kind of don't get enough of it.
All right. I've got you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. So, a 6, he rates it. Mm-hmm. This is one of the movies I was really looking forward to. So, that's one opinion. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art. In the spring of 2047, the president will be apologizing for the atrocities that were committed back in 2001 when President Perot ordered the invasion of Canada.
You mean we were not kind to the Canadians?
Well, it was going fairly well until about June when things got out of hand and they nuked Moose Jaw, and, well, it was pretty much downhill from there.
So you think Perot, elected in the next major election, why would he take Canada, first of all? And how would he take it? I've always wondered about that.
With Ross, who can tell?
That's true.
Yeah.
I did a little thing on that one time. We ruminated about what was called the Canadian invasion plan.
I remember that.
And the master answer that I finally got was, that Americans, GIs, with so many women now in the military, would masquerade as honeymooners.
Okay.
And we would cross at Niagara Falls in force. And their country would be gone before they knew what hit them.
It's all in the syrup.
Thanks for the call, sir.
You're welcome.
You have a good morning. That was the best Canadian invasion plan I heard. All right, folks, that's it. Bottom of the hour. We'll be right back with the unexpected.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. We'll be right back. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
Hey, I've got something really wild coming up for you in a moment.
Anybody could be that guy.
And I mean really wild. Anybody happen to catch 2020 tonight? Unbelievable. I'll tell you all about it in a moment. The following from Lewis in San Diego. Art, are you still looking for the source of the soul? Yeah, of course I am. ABC's 2020 did a fascinating report tonight about a woman in her 50s who had received, get this, a heart-lung transplant, heart and lungs, from a teenage boy, and suddenly had the cravings of a teenage boy. The bottom line seemed to be that, as ABC said, the heart may be more than just a pump. There could be something here. And it might be interesting to hear what other people who saw 2020 tonight think about this. Ooh, you bet that's interesting. I don't know how I could have missed it. It is the one time in I don't know how long that I've missed 2020, and they run something like this. Could it be true? You know what I would like to ask some of you? Heart transplants are fairly common now, aren't they? Fairly regular procedure. No, it isn't. Not regular. But done more frequently, and other organs certainly have been transplanted. But could it be that what we think of, you know, of, as our soul, is at least partially contained in the various organs that make us up? I mean, nobody exactly ever told me where the soul is. Now, some will say the soul is esoteric and not physical, has nothing to do with the physical, but who said that's true? Who said that's true? And if a woman in her 50s begins to feel like a teenage boy after getting the parts of a teenage boy, it's going to make you stop and scratch your head a little bit and wonder again and again about the nature of the soul. Did part of him, more than just physical thumping, pumping organs, transfer to her? God, that's interesting. What do you think? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
Hi, where are you?
Dennis in Milwaukee.
Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, this Mir spacecraft, you know, all these astronauts have been going up there, and recently they had that one woman who was up there for about 6 months, wasn't she?
Yes, and even though they never quite said it, I had the distinct impression that she wasn't real happy about being there.
Well, I was wondering, all this business with these photographs from these astronauts seeing out their windows and everything, if that woman there, if you could ever get a hold of her in one way and ask, they've been heading that space station up there for how many years now? And I was just wondering if Dennis...
There is no way, sir. I repeat. No, I know exactly where you're going, and I would love to go there, and I appreciate the call, but that man is saying invite a current astronaut on the program to try and tell what he or she has seen. And you're particularly correct when you would pick on somebody who's been up there for, say, a half year. That's a lot of window gazing, half year, isn't it? So, very likely she would have seen something, but the odds of her being able to talk about it are slim and none. In other words, she remains on active duty in the astronaut corps, and there is no way in hell that even if she did see anything, she's going to talk about it. Not until retirement, don't you know. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, hi.
Hi, where are you?
Chicago.
Chicago, the Windy City.
I was calling between a month and 2 months ago.
Would you do a favor for me?
Sure.
You got to yell into your phone a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Okay. About 1 or 2 months ago.
There was a segment on CNN about the effects of electromagnetic waves on the body. and
yes.
I was a doctor. They were testing to see if they could induce the effects of morphine on the human brain using electrodes only, and
uh-huh.
they did.
I believe it.
Yeah, I figured, well, oh, it's a medical story. I'll change it. And I come back a few seconds later, and he's talking about Earth's changes could affect people, and this could show them, this could cause them to have visions of UFOs.
You know what else it could cause? It could cause people to feel coming earthquakes and things like that. In other words, I believe that electromagnetic energy absolutely has an effect on human beings. In fact, it's quite well documented.
But his thing was also that a whole population or a whole nation
could feel it,
could experience the same hallucination or the same emotion at the same time.
I wouldn't rule it out.
And I was just amazed that they would put this on TV, because I've heard people talking about things like that.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Especially, I've heard a lot of things about, here in Chicago, we've had a lot of young kids who've done horribly violent things.
I know.
And friends of mine talking were like, something's going on, you know, where are these kids getting this stuff? And
you may be right on the money.
Yeah, supposedly there was some state of things that happened in some other part of the country, and they were wondering, all of these kids lived near power lines. It was in a city, maybe
mm-hmm.
Kansas City or St. Louis or something.
Right.
And I was just, you know, thinking, it was amazing that it was on TV.
Well, let me take it a little farther. Yes, power lines, RF energy of the sort that I have near me, I'm a ham operator, I have a lot of it near me, is pretty well documented now to have effects on the human body. Now, carry it a step further. If there is a coming Earth change, and the magnetic influence of the Earth is beginning to change in some way, it's absolutely possible that either in specific areas or even in wide areas or maybe even worldwide, we would all be affected. I mean, you're dead right. You could be dead right. So I appreciate the thought. What do you think about this 2020 piece? You heard me talk about that?
I've heard something like that. There was a man, he may have been in England, but it may have been here. He received the heart of a teenager who had died in a drunk driving accident.
Yes.
And the minute he woke up, he had a craving for chicken McNuggets and beer. And this was the last meal of the dead teenager. He died
with
chicken McNuggets in the car next to him.
Oh, my God.
And so, I believe it.
I
don't know if that's the seat or if it's one of the seats or one of the access points. Or maybe this has always been happening, but like you say with the quickening, maybe 20 years ago this was happening, but the mass consciousness was not able to become aware of this.
You are absolutely dead on, hon. Thank you very much. Absolutely dead on. What do the rest of you think about that? There is no question that we are affected by electromagnetic energy. We are, in essence, electrical beings. Neurons firing in our brains, impulses sent, for example, so that when we hurt ourselves or burn ourselves, we go, ow! Well, that's a little electrical signal that was sent. So would electrical signals be affected by large changing magnetic or electromagnetic fields? Yes, of course. And, again, it translates right back to this incredible story. Could it be that our soul is perhaps even evenly somehow distributed in our entire body? You cannot rule out that possibility. And if that is true, then it gives weight to what 2020 ran last night and tells us something about the nature of the soul, doesn't it? Or is it some sort of stored genetic memory? I don't know. Fascinating. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello there. Where are you, pray tell?
I'm in Hondo. My name's Steve.
Hondo. Hondo what?
We're about 40 miles west of San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
I listened with interest earlier in the hour on your Tuskegee comments.
Yes.
And how they have finally received an apology.
Yes.
There's a much more larger scale and a much more insidious cover-up that is long overdue for an apology.
And that would be?
And that would be, well, thanks to New York Magazine, a lot more unsuspecting Americans now know that the polio vaccines grown on the kidney tissues of monkeys have been contaminated with viruses, and the federal government public health agencies have known this all along and have covered it up.
All right. I appreciate the call, sir, and I know exactly what you're speaking about. However, I think that there's a big difference because I don't think they knew that from the beginning. Now, from the point, and we have no way of knowing, when they realized that in doing that, they would contaminate vaccines with things that would be passed from animals to humans, from the point they really knew, then you could talk about a cover-up. But look, it's not in the same category as the Tuskegee experiment, and the difference is premeditation. In Tuskegee, there was premeditation not to treat 400 black men who we knew to have syphilis to see what would happen. Now, my question was, 50 years from now, from today, what do you imagine a president, if by then we still have one, will be apologizing for? In other words, it's another way of saying, what do you think we're doing today? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is Wes. I'm calling from Springfield, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you. I enjoyed your show. I've listened to it for a year. It's just that I think one of the greatest things around.
Well, it's different.
It is certainly different. I'm just definitely glad that it exists. I had the pleasure of listening last night. It was one of the greatest. The time flew by. Richard Hoagland is just incredible.
He is, yes.
Certainly. Well, listen, I just had basically one thing. And what it involved is I've been reading a lot of Malachi Martin's books before I, in fact, ever heard him on your show. And I was curious, is he ever going to be on again? Or do you...
Of course.
Okay, well, I think he's a super guest. I really enjoy
Malachi will say every time that any time I ask him to come on, he will come on. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, he's just...
He's a one-of-a-kind, sir.
Certainly a one-of-a-kind. But I don't know if you've ever read any of his books. I've read several of them, and there's several things that he kind of talks about, and there's a kind of a side to him in what he presents in his material that I've never heard on your show. And I've only heard him, I think, maybe twice. I think.
What aspect of Malachi have you not heard?
Well, what it basically involves is his work with the, I guess, the higher levels of the Vatican. He doesn't go into his actual dealings with it, but in the books that I've read. But he kind of really just more describes the Vatican's view on politics and the state of the world and where the world's headed in general.
Right.
And anyway, I've read two in particular which really seem to talk about that. And one is The Keys of This Blood, and the last one is Windswept House, his latest book.
Yes.
And I was just curious if I sent you some questions that would kind of that were drawn from the both of those books. If you might just kind of look over them sometime and see what you think. They're kind of interesting. It's really, I find
Well, look, if they're good questions, how about if I just ask Malachi when I have him back on?
That would be great. That would be great.
Send him along.
Huh?
Send him along.
I'll certainly send him, and I'll send everything that I think you would kind of need to kind of brief and to kind of fill up to it on it. And that would just be really interesting. I'd just like to see his responses about him.
You know what I would like to hear him comment on?
Is what?
This story that I'm reading tonight about what 2020 did.
I hadn't heard about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not
all right,
at all.
All right, then listen.
Okay.
2020 did a report tonight about a woman in her 50s who just received a heart and lung transplant from a teenage boy and suddenly had the cravings of a teenage boy. Bottom line, according to ABC, is the heart and maybe the lungs.
Yeah.
may be more than just what they seem to be, organs, more than just a pump. In other words, they may actually contain some element that is us intellectually.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was kind of looking at just what you've talked about. I've done a little reading just on my own about, what it involved basically is alternative, really radically alternative nutritional approaches to, not so much health, but just your state of being in general.
Yes.
And from what I gather, whenever I heard that, I've heard people talk about that before, say, for example, a heart, someone receiving an organ and having a certain addiction or a craving or something like that.
Usually it's in the form of a joke involving an elephant trunk or something.
Well, I haven't heard that one either. I don't know.
Well, I can't tell it, so forget it.
Okay. I won't push you on that.
Okay.
But basically, from what a lot of these stuff that I've read, at least, and I am no expert, each of our cells basically is its own unit. It has its own chemistry in a way. And what we eat, and particularly in the case of, say, powerful narcotics or drugs in general, alcohol included, by constantly having those in our body, they change the individual chemistry of those cells.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what these people claim, they claim that, say, for example, a juice fast, for example, by so thoroughly cleansing each cell of your body as you would do in, say, a 10-day or 14-day fast,
yes,
you're changing the chemistry of each cell, and that because of that, your cravings, for example, say for it could be even for a food, or it could be even say for a drug, particularly, is caused by those chemical imbalances. You're creating a chemical environment in which I suppose that chemical becomes part of the actual process or the metabolizing process of that cell. I'm no scientist.
No, what you're saying generally sounds correct. Yes,
yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I don't know, I'm just not really, I don't know if our heart and lungs could have, it would be interesting if they did, that would certainly be interesting, but that would be my take on it.
Well, okay, thank you very much. What you said makes some sense, a lot of sense, actually. But what is particularly intriguing here is that we're dealing with a woman in her 50s, who suddenly developed the cravings of a teenage boy. Boy, I mean, you could not find a bigger difference to talk about, to point out the prospect of this possibility being true. So what does this mean, if true? Could it just have been some sort of hallucination or a subliminal suggestion made to her psychologically? Sure, it could have been. Or there could be really something to it. They apparently thought there was. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning or evening, Art. This is Marcus in Portland. You're a pistol packing bagan.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Fine.
Good. Comment really quickly about last night's show.
Yes,
I found Richard Hoagland so good it was painful to listen to. I could only take it in small doses. Concerning your reservation, though, about the moral inability to jump the hurdle and go to the conclusion that the government or people in the government be capable of murder, if we have a federal government which presidential administration after administration has, as Joyce Riley indicated, been willing to sacrifice the lives and welfare of 600,000 Gulf War veterans.
Well, stop for a second. Let's talk about, I mean, they apologized today, our president did, for Tuskegee.
Okay.
All right. 400 black men who had syphilis were allowed to go to the end stage, death, mm-hmm. right? Death.
Right. From the 1930s and 40s.
What is it that our president just apologized for? What is the word for it?
I would say a small slice of genocide. Certainly.
Genocide?
Well, really?
Yeah, genocide might be the right word.
Yeah, in microcosm, the regarding of black men as somehow less than human or less than fully entitled to the same rights as white men would have been granted.
Yeah, so, I, how else do you look at it?
Very, very clinically in the long run, because most of the people who needed the apology are dead, and they're dealing now with their grandchildren or great-grandchildren.
Well, they said the 8 surviving people.
Yeah, that makes it pretty safe. It's like the cases of racial discrimination we've just hit where black men who were serving in the armed forces during World War II are now finally getting the combat medals and awards and recognition that they deserved 50 years ago.
That's it. So my question again is, 50 years from now, what do you imagine some president, if we still have one by then, might be apologizing for?
I think two things. They're going to be apologizing for the cover-up of the most pivotal event in human history, Roswell, and the events thereafter. And they are going to be apologizing for all the atrocities done to surviving U.S. veterans, from the sacrifice of the 1,800 MIAs in Vietnam to the 600,000 written off as expendable.
All right. Well, that makes absolute sense to me. I appreciate your call. And we will continue with these themes and whatever else you want to talk about right after the news.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 16th, 1997.
Good morning. I'll kind of fill you in briefly on where we've been and where we're going, and then you can go anywhere you want to go. Doesn't matter. We'll do all that in just a moment. Good morning, everybody. Friday night, Saturday morning, and let me tell you, it's going to be all open lines all night long. You know, unless something happens otherwise, and I never know. With regard to yesterday's program, Mr. Rosenthal, the Associated Press reporter, apparently was besieged with mountains of faxes from all of you. And nobody save one person was able to talk. Actually, nobody talked to him today, really. He didn't want to talk to anybody. But somebody out there talked to his boss. And his boss relayed to this person, so it's all third hand, the fact that Mr. Rosenthal got angry and threw away all of our faxes. Just threw them away. So that's all we know right now. Wait word from Mr. Rosenthal. I'm not holding my breath. I don't want to pass on that quickly. The shuttle has docked with Mir, and we'll put yet another American on Mir. And I am not satisfied that Mir is safe, despite the week-long blitz by NASA saying that it is now safe. I don't think it is. The President of the United States issued an apology to the 8 surviving members of the Tuskegee experiment. He said what the U.S. government did was deeply and profoundly wrong, and, quote, "I apologize and I am sorry," unquote. And it causes me to wonder what the president is going to be apologizing for, if we have one, 50 years from now. That's the question I want to ask. I mean, we are apologizing. You put a word to it. There were 400 black men. We let them go to terminal stage with syphilis. What is the appropriate word for that action? One person called and said genocide. Maybe that's the right word. At any rate, it causes me to wonder what we're going to be apologizing for 50 years from now. If anybody has that answer or a guess, you'd be welcome to call in. O.J. Simpson says he is broke. He wore ragged pants with a hole in the back. Says he's got no money. Going to have to move out of the mansion. This is tragic. The $33.5 million settlement against him is the problem. He only earned $400,000 since the beginning of the year. Only $400,000. A hole in his pants. And I said earlier, the only two places you do that are when you're going to a news conference to tell the world you're broke. And when you go to see the IRS, honey, get me that pair of pants with a hole in the back, will you? Defense Secretary Cohen is talking about more base closures. It would seem that Congress is not wild about that idea. Oh, here's a fax in response. Hi, Art. It's been a long time since I faxed your show. It's Ray from Santee. Wanted to know what the government might apologize for in 50 years. One, an apology to all the people who lost their family farms and businesses due to unfair inheritance taxes. Two, an apology to all the average citizens that paid into a bankrupt Social Security system. Now, that would be some speech. We're sorry. We can issue no more Social Security checks. Remember the old no new taxes pledge? This moment would make that look like kindergarten time. An apology for not preserving an outdated concept called the Constitution. Well, don't expect that one. And a great big apology for shutting down too many of our military bases and not disarming the Soviet nuclear threat. And by the way, while we're on that subject, the commander of NATO, according to the Associated Press, and, get this, U.S. forces in Europe said Monday, he's checking a report now that recent malfunctions have switched Russian nuclear missiles to combat mode. Combat mode. Automatically. On several occasions. Can you imagine that? You're sitting there in an ICBM silo, and the whole damn thing begins to switch on and go into combat mode. Now, where was it that they pointed those things? They didn't they say they weren't pointed over at us anymore? Not sure that I believe that. Now, two other very, very important items. 1 week from right now, Victor is going to be here. Now, who is Victor? And Victor will be using a voice changer, and he'll be calling us. So, we're going to be able to interview him for an hour. A luxury they did not have on Strange Universe. Victor is the man who provided the video that is said to be, in total, a 3-minute piece of footage smuggled out of Area 51 by Victor, who claims that he had occasion to be there, and took this while the entire contents of a massive series of interviews with a number of alien creatures were being downloaded from video to analog. And guess what? I've got the second promised photograph up there right now. It shows, folks, and you'll be able to go to my website and see it. But what it shows is the alien, a closer photograph of the alien, with a man, presumably a doctor, who has white gloves on, putting his finger into the mouth of this alien. Nobody else has this photograph. It is an exclusive on our website right now. It went up there a couple hours ago. So if you want to see what nobody has seen until now, it's on my website at www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. And let's see, where do you want to go? You want to go to latest news and items. And the very first item will read, second interrogation video image from Victor. Now, Victor will be here, as I said, using a voice changer next week. And I'm trying to decide whether I want to interview Victor alone or whether somebody else should be here. Perhaps inviting Whitley Strieber, if he's up to it. I don't know. We'll see. And then there's one more really, really cool item. ABC's 2020 last night did a report about, get this now, imagine this in your mind, a woman in her 50s who received a heart-lung transplant from a teenage boy, heart and lungs, apparently, from a teenage boy, and suddenly, after it, had the cravings of a teenage boy. Now, ABC said the heart may be, quote, more than just pump, unquote. And so it leaves one, it leaves a lot of questions begging, doesn't it? About the nature of the soul. Is the soul embedded in all that we are, along with our genetic code? And, you know, I don't know. I don't have these answers, but a woman in her mid-50s having the cravings of a teenage boy? Now, there was a recent story on CNN about heart transplants being illegal in Japan. They are, it's true. They will not transplant organs in that country because they believe the soul is not complete if the organs are removed. That's Dick in Hawaii. He said kind of interesting, I would say, in light of the 2020 story. So there you are, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi. Going once. Going twice, gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello there. Where are you?
Birmingham, Alabama.
All right. You're going to have to get into that phone and make a little noise at us here.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I had a question and a comment.
Okay.
Okay. The question is what source did you get the information regarding the Russian missiles targeting the particular countries or going into combat mode?
Associated Press.
Okay.
You can go look it up on the web or whatever. Probably read it in your local newspaper. First-time callers call area 702-727-1222. No, something you can't do, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just say you're a ham operator. Don't give your call. And the reason you don't want to do that is because obviously it would identify your location.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. The article in question is by Susan M. Schaefer. Who is an AP, Associated Press, military writer.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And the comment I was going to make?
Yes.
Is I'm also a pilot, and I remember recently there was a gentleman who called in, apparently while he was airborne, and he was...
Talking about the guy who flew into Area 51.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And I was, it just seemed a little odd, the mindset, you know, that enabled him to talk in the mannerisms that he was talking in. I mean, because I know that if I've ever gotten into anything that was, excuse me, quite unusual while I was flying, I was not able to maintain a real gentle tone in my voice.
Well, I'm not sure I heard a gentle tone in his voice. He wasn't cussing and swearing like you'd expect a pilot who'd be going in to do. That's true. I make no representations at all about what that was, because I don't know. I mean, I just, look, sir, I've got open lines. When I answered the phone, when you rang a few moments ago,
sure.
Nobody answered first, right?
No, sir.
So he called the same way you just did.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no way of knowing if it was drama, just entertainment, or deadly serious.
Sure. But that's the next thing I was going to say is if you'd ever gotten any follow-up from any other people that called in to maybe substantiate or...
Not yet, but I sure do want it.
But I also want to make a comment that I appreciate you being on the air. Enjoy listening to you. You have a lot of people here in the Birmingham area that listen to you regular. And we're really glad you're there.
Thank you, my friend, and take care, Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, glad to be on the air there and everywhere. And it is simply a sort of a different kind of talk radio. You know, it's different. There's rumors about the Giffords. Frank Gifford and Kathy Lee. Anybody out there hearing that? I don't want to go any further with it until I know what's going on here. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. My name is Bob. I'm calling from St. Petersburg,
Florida. Florida. Hi, Bob.
And I was listening tonight. You were talking to the gentleman from the Tampa Triangle.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was a Dreamland show.
Yes. And you were talking about combustible, internal, spontaneous combustion, people dying.
That's correct.
I had an aunt, a great aunt, died from that. In
You're
the 50s,
kidding.
In Dallas.
In Dallas.
Yes. She was, her sister-in-law and her sister-in-law's son went into a store and left her sitting in the car, in a Cadillac out in front of a store.
Right.
And they came out, and she was just engulfed in flames.
You're kidding.
She did live till they got her to the hospital, but she never said anything. And they...
Well, what in the hell did the autopsy show?
Just like it just started burning. Just started a fire. Nobody had thrown a cigarette or anything on her like that. And there was absolutely... It was cloth seats in the car, and there was not even a char mark on the seat of the car. And she had been an actress. In fact, she was in the 20s. She had acted in road shows with Pat O'Brien in the old days. And she was written up in a book. Somebody wrote a book years ago about all the people that had died this way.
Oh, I've interviewed people, thank you, who have written books on this subject, and I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. I mean, it's simply impossible. Even wearing clothes. I'm a smoker. You know, if you drop a cigarette in your lap, believe me, in a few seconds you notice it and you jump a mile high. And there's really nothing sitting in a car that I could imagine that would possibly burn a person up without touching the seat. God, it's horrible. But there are so many cases chronicled. I've got photographs. They're very gruesome on the website of people who have burned themselves, literally burned their bodies. And I, apparently from the inside out, it's unimaginable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Is this Art Bell?
It is.
How you doing, Art Bell?
Okay, where are you?
I'm from Brookhaven, Mississippi.
All right.
I called you in December, and we talked about the Yeti Yale. You know,
yes, would you turn your radio off for us, sir?
Okay, turn your radio off.
Yes, turn that radio off.
Okay, I'm sorry. What's going on?
I don't know, sir. You called me. So you tell me what's going on.
That red tide, you know, that's something, you know, fantastic.
The red tide now reported not just in North Carolina, but many, many parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
Fish kills, yeah.
Uh-huh, that is something else. I tell you, I just love your show, and I think it's real cool, okay?
Cool.
Uh-huh, cool.
I think it's cool.
Uh-huh.
All right, I appreciate the call. Cool. Yeah, the show's cool. It's just different, that's all. Just different. Here are some real newspaper headlines. Actual newspaper headlines. Something went wrong in jet crash, expert says. Something went wrong in jet crash, expert says. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Safety experts say school bus passengers should be belted. Drunk gets 9 months in violin case. Survivor of Siamese twins joins parents. Iraqi head seeks arms. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
And that, too.
I had some thoughts about that 2020 segment they did.
Yes, for. Yes, please.
I grew up Catholic, and I come with only that experience. And what I was always taught was that the Creator infused the soul at the moment of conception.
Uh-huh.
And...
But they don't really... But see, that's... Nobody really knows that for sure, do they? I mean, we don't know that scientifically, huh?
Well, scientifically, the moment that cell becomes an individual.
All right.
Never before, never since.
Listen to me for a second. I'm going to have to put you on hold because we're at the bottom of the hour, okay? All right. This is definitely going to provoke a conversation. What a story on 2020.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
Lynn in San Francisco said, the 2020 program on the 57-year-old woman with a teenage boy's heart, apparently lung as well. Her name is Claire Sylvia. And along with the cravings, she also dreamt the name of her donor. Oh, my God. And this, hello, Art, concerning the transplant recipient. Have you ever thought about a hologram where every individual part of the whole has all the elements of the whole? Maybe the heart and lungs of the teenager contained all the elements of the whole teenager. Some say it's how the brain works. Why not the heart and lungs? That's Martin in West Lynn, Oregon. Thank you, Martin. Yeah, I don't dismiss it, Martin. Not at all. And incidentally, from Gene in Minneapolis, Art, there are a whole bunch of new crop circle formations. They're coming in fast now. Since you first reported them this year, you can access them from your website. Yes, the Crop Circle website. It is true, and they're coming in fast and furiously now, as I predicted they would. Here is our young lady who was raised as a Catholic. You're back on, ma'am.
Thank you for waiting.
And so where were you going?
Where I was going was that since every cell is part of that individual,
yes,
the DNA,
yes,
wouldn't it be logical to say that every cell stores, as you said, a kind of collective memory of,
yes,
its inheritance?
Yes, I think it is logical. And so then the question is it morally acceptable to transfer organs from one human being to another?
That's where the hard part comes in.
That's exactly right. Thank you. That's where the hard part comes in. If that is the case, and this evidence would tend to lean in that direction, then is it morally proper? I think my answer would still be yes. And I'll give you my logic. Even though it might be a little godlike to be doing it, let's think about it for a second. What is wrong with somebody giving the gift of life, even if it means they're giving some portion of themselves, their real selves? You know, we all imagine our bodies to be as nothing once we're dead, and I believe that's true. I think it's true. Anyway, even if some of what we are lingers in our organs, our cells, our DNA, our very being, and is transferred, you are giving the gift of yourself after you have died. I don't know. This really does require some fairly serious thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there should be a moral objection to doing that. It depends on exactly what the nature of the soul really is, doesn't it? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is Barbara from Hammond.
Hi, Barbara.
You know, in regards to this 2020 article, years ago, I read in a newspaper in a little column fill that scientists had recognized that underneath the heart on the left-hand side,
yes,
there was tissue similar to tissue, the type of tissue that is in the brain.
Okay.
And just wanted to add it to what you're talking about. And metaphysically, there is supposed to be a second soul, too, in that area of the body.
So I've heard. So then, let's say that what you're telling us is true. What does that, how does that reflect on the ethics of doing transplants, in your opinion?
I wasn't thinking so much of the ethics.
Well, personal, the morality?
Personal convictions. I've not explored it.
Well, hopefully this teenage boy is now not stuck inside this 57-year-old woman. As long as that's not the case, I guess it'd be all right, huh?
Well, I don't know. She has his energy. That's a plus.
Thank you very much for the call. Hopefully, you know, he's not sort of in there bouncing around somehow or another. And as long as that's not the case, I guess it's all right. I don't know. It really goes to these very deep questions about the nature of who we are. But it is certainly intriguing, isn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, this is Stephen from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi, Stephen.
Oh, well, I've been listening to you for about 6 months, and I've really enjoyed your show.
Thank you.
And
you mean you have never called in previously?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
And I didn't use the first-time caller line, but...
Ah, that's all right. No, however you can get in, doesn't matter.
Yes. Anyway, I had one theory on the heart and lung transplant.
Yes.
I was reading a book one day about memory, and they had two rats, and they taught one rat how to run through a maze, and after a while, it learned where to take the turns, and they took a blood sample from that rat and injected it into the other rat that they hadn't taught at all.
I saw the same study, and as I recall, that second rat then did it in record time.
Yes, yes.
Indicating that that knowledge was somehow physically, in that manner, transferred. Yeah, it's pretty strange stuff. If that's true,
I think they said that it was in the RNA.
Yeah, I've got you. But if it's true, through whatever means, we don't understand the science. They don't either.
Right.
But if it's true, then what are the ethics of doing this?
Oh, well, I guess you could make really smart people. You could get the memory from, let's say, if we had a blood sample from Albert Einstein, we could somehow take that out and inject it into somebody else.
Well, we could, but when you ask a question about ethics, you're saying not could, but should.
Oh,
we
should, yeah.
Should we do that?
Well, if I was in control, it could be really interesting.
In other words, I take it to mean then that you would do it.
Oh, well, if it was my own little world, I guess.
Yeah, but see, you know what would happen?
Yeah.
Inevitably, some jerk would be out there taking regular monthly blood samples from Charlie Manson.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call, sir. Inevitably, that would occur, wouldn't it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Extinguish your radio, number one. Turn that radio off.
Okay.
We'll hold on while you turn it off, so go turn that radio off. The advice is have your radio near your phone so that when you get on the air, you can immediately go click. Okay, I think she may be back. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Yakima, Washington.
Okay, welcome.
Hi. Say, you're talking about this heart-lung transplant.
You bet.
The soul, you know, I looked in the dictionary under soul to define exactly what it is.
Yeah, but what Webster's? Who'd you go to?
Let's see, what have I got here? It's the Random House College Dictionary.
Random House College Dictionary. Mm-hmm. So what do they know?
So what do they know?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with my aunt, and I asked her, I said, well, what is exactly the definition of soul?
Yes.
And it says here that the spiritual part of man is distinct from the physical part.
Ah, see? I'm right. What do they know? I mean, what if it is not distinct in every way from your physical self? What if in your DNA structure, your RNA, at the molecular level, you are who you are? And when you transplant a piece of you to somebody else... a piece of you goes along for real.
Yeah, well, you know, and you were asking if is it moral, you know, to take parts from one body and give to the other.
And I think my answer is if they're harvested after death, that's really important. And lately I've been hearing some disturbing news about harvesting prior to death. But assuming that it's done after brain death, then I think there is a moral stand you could take that would say that if part of me saved the life and continued the life of somebody else, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
I hope.
Well, and, you know, what my feelings are about it is this body is just a shell for us to use while here on Earth anyway. I mean, the spirit of our of who we are is in us, yes, but the body and every part of the body is just a shell for us to use during our life here on Earth.
So what does it mean if that lady dreamt the name of the donor? A total impossibility.
It boggles the mind.
You got to sit down and think about that one a little bit, huh?
Oh yeah, it's not impossible, but it's too.
Well,
I don't know what the right word is for it to be coincidence.
Exactly.
Too broad of it, you know, a thing to happen.
I don't believe in those kinds of coincidences. Thank you very much. Yes. Oh, exactly. This is such an incredible story. And what it suggests really has got to rock you back for a couple of minutes and make you begin to think about what might be as opposed to what we have traditionally believed. Right? Wild card line. No, first time caller line. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
I hate to diverge a little bit.
You can diverge anywhere you want to go, sir.
I have a mystery for us, Art.
Life is full of them, but one thing is not a mystery, and that is you must turn your radio off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Before we can proceed.
It's done right now.
All right.
Okay. There was an article in 1991 that I didn't catch in time, but... It's a article in the Review Journal about 12 bighorn sheep being found at the north end of the Mormon Mountains dead in an inaccessible spot to reach by either foot or horseback, and they think they were dropped out of an airplane. And they were dead long enough that they didn't want to take an autopsy on them at the time.
Dropped out of an airplane.
Their theory.
Well, I guess that would be what I would say, too, if it was inaccessible, period.
Well, it's accessible, but the steep terrain in the general area is 6 hours from where you can access it with a vehicle.
Yeah, but aren't bighorn sheep pretty good at climbing things like
that? Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are, but 13 of them in the same spot at the same time, dead for the same amount of time. They were dead, 6 months to a year, I think.
Without an autopsy having been performed to determine a cause of death, we're really guessing.
Yes. And for some reason, they didn't take hair samples or tissue samples or anything to a pathologist.
Yeah, well, you know where they are now, don't you? Right, Patterson Air Force Base. Level 7.
Could be.
Appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Everything like that goes to right, Pat, doesn't it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Rebecca from Arkansas.
Rebecca from Arkansas. All right.
Yes, sir. This is the first time I've called. I've been listening to you for a few months now, and I enjoy your program. I think the very best one was last week when Willie Nelson was on. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Well, I run the gamut.
I enjoy that.
Thank
you. Different kinds of things. I have two comments about the heart and lung transplant. I watched that tonight on 2020.
And your impressions were?
Well, I thought it was very well done, and they were objective about it. The points that I want to make are metaphysical more than physical.
That's
and
fine.
That is, if the soul has to leave the body in order for the body to die, wouldn't it remain if a major part of that body was still alive, especially major organs like the heart and lungs?
Well, that's, of course, the horrific question you would ask, but and I'm asking it. I don't know. I don't have that answer, but if so, then we have a teenage boy trapped inside a 57-year-old woman.
Well, it seems from the experiences that she related that this has been a positive thing for her.
Well, sure.
And he is...
has it been a positive thing for him?
It seems to me, from what she related, that I would think that...
Let me put it this way.
It is, that he is helping her positively.
Maybe so. But I'm a 51-year-old, soon-to-be 52-year-old man.
Right.
And if I suddenly, in essence, woke up inside the body of about an 11 or 12-year-old girl, I'd be really ticked off.
Well, if you believe at all in reincarnation, and I believe that you do, if you come back, you come back in the body of a baby. I know you without the knowledge that that you had been here before immediately, but at any rate, another possibility is that I have heard people who have talked about having near-death experiences, and they remain near the body even though they are out of that body, and they feel an attachment to the body and a sense of wanting to take care of that body. And suppose he has moved out, but he is remaining near, or has remained near, because she did say that as the years went by, that a lot of this has diminished. And so maybe, you know, he has gradually withdrawn himself from her.
Perhaps
he's not,
so.
Not actually attached to those organs, but maybe has been hanging around as a caretaker in a sense.
Oh, man.
That's kind of wild.
It is. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. It's kind of wild. I mean, what if you were to wake up? I can only relate to myself, so I will. But if I were to wake up, say, in the body of a 12-year-old girl, man, knowing what I know, for one thing, I can tell you this. My attitude about men, it'd be poor. Very poor. I mean, knowing what I know about myself, under those circumstances, I would not be... it'd be quite a terror. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's Tootie.
Hi, Trudy or Judy?
Tootie.
Tootie?
Uh-huh.
As in Tootie Fruity?
Rudy Tootie.
All right. Where are you?
I'm in Northern California.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Tuskegee. And also
yes.
About, you mentioned some women who were given plutonium pills. While
yes.
They were pregnant.
I know.
700 women. And one thing that you left out about them is that they were, all of them, poor women.
Well, the Tuskegee, yes, you're correct. Tuskegee, of course, was black men.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there are no words.
I really think that it is totally proper to ask what you think we might be apologizing for 50 years from now, which is another way of asking what you think we're doing now. Do you think we're doing the same kind of horrible thing now? I'll bet we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think there's no doubt about it. You know, the one thing that it reminds me of is that it's Joseph Mengele's stuff being carried out after, you know.
It really is.
He left off.
It really
is. Exactly what he was doing. It's racist. It's immoral. It's egregious. There are no words. It's unacceptable.
It's all of that. I couldn't agree more with you. It's all of that, and I'm sure we're doing it now. I bet the modern version of it involves things that would really be horrific. Things like...
What are they putting in our water?
Genetics.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the genetic experiments they're doing that they're... I mean, they have all these public ethical committees that look into what should and shouldn't be done. It's all baloney. In the private sector, or the private government slash sector, you know damn well they're doing these things.
And, you know... And, yes, absolutely. And... Also, I wanted to ask a question about the Hanford story, about an explosion or something that happened at the Hanford nuclear plant.
There were eight, indeed, there was an explosion heard 30 miles away that did not, they're still saying, involve the release of any nuclear materials, but did flood, and eight were taken to the hospital, apparently unhurt. Keyword, apparently. So that's all we know right now.
Well, the thing is, after it was announced, I heard it on a newscast on your show, I looked for it the next day in newspapers, and I also, by the way, don't have a TV, so...
Well, they don't like to advertise that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
it gets, you know, it's kind of thing,
news.
It gets on the news, and then as soon as they're able to, they drop it like a hot rod. Rock.
There was nothing at all about it at all, but Miss Universe, you know.
Oh, what a beauty is she! What a beauty, Miss
I'm
USA!
I'm sure she is, but, you know, we could use some updates on Hanford, too, huh?
I gotta go.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're going to regret, because I'm the best it's ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals at cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16, 1997.
I suspect love is probably the most important, powerful force in the universe. Did you ever wonder about that? The most powerful force in the universe is probably love. Well, anyway, onward. Open lines tonight, all night long. You're certainly welcome to join in. I know what I want to get in. I promised you that every time we got an opening on one of our cruises, that I would let you know. We have, I think, one opening in Egypt. We're going to Egypt, actually Rome. We're going all over the place. October 1st. And I think there's one opening there. And I think there's one opening or maybe two openings left in Alaska. That's it, folks. And so every now and then when I get some openings in the cruises, I'll let you know. Stan Dale's going to be here Monday. People have been requesting the return of Stan Dale for a long time. And we've got it arranged. He will be our guest Monday night at the beginning of the program. Stan Dale from Australia. As I said, my network truly loves it when I have guests from Australia and England and Moscow. And Stan is an expatriate. Living in Perth, Australia. Stan, I don't want to say was exiled to Australia. I'll let him explain that himself, and he's got a lot of new stuff. I understand his webpage has some dire warnings on it, and so we're going to inquire what that's all about and talk of many things with Stan Dale. He's a very unusual person, and all I can say is you're not going to want to miss it. That's this coming Monday night, beginning of the week. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, my name is Mark. I'm in the aspiring actor here in Los Angeles.
Huh.
The reason for my... Well, I've had a couple of parts, but nothing real important, so I'm still kind of a struggling artist, as they call it. But I'm calling your show because I had my first out-of-body experience. And I was wondering if any of your listeners out there can describe a couple of things that's going on that I'm having a bit of trouble with. I've read about this thing for like 15 years now, and I've always tried it for years and years, and it never...
Well, just describe what happened to you.
Well, as I got out the first time, I started saying to myself out of body, I said, wow, this is it. I'm out of body. I've made it. I've done it.
Yeah.
And I started roaming the hallways of the building where I am.
Yeah.
I could walk through all of the things that are made of wood, but I couldn't seem to go through, like, the solid brick walls or doors.
No kidding.
Right, and I could go through the elevator doors, And as I said, all the wood. But here's something that really, really bothers me.
Yes.
And that is, while I was walking, I saw James Cagney, the old actor.
Really?
Yeah. And I was telling him that I'm an aspiring actor and I loved his movies and I'm really into comedies. And he said, well, why don't you go upstairs and talk to Laurel and Hardy? Maybe they can help you out. I'm going over here to a party at the Barrymore's. And I started coming back and I'm like, what the world, you know, sort of like this, right? Well, anyhow, I mentioned that to some of the people that live here in the building, some of the older people, and they mentioned it, I guess, to a manager or somehow or another. They went through the archives. This was like 2 weeks ago, and Tuesday of this week they found out that in this building, James Cagney had, in fact, lived here. And
you're serious, aren't you? I was sitting here thinking there's a punchline coming to this, but there isn't. You're serious, huh?
No, this is a residential hotel building. And
wow.
Not only did Cagney live here, but the Barrymores spent a few nights here. And Laurel and Hardy, we're on the 8th floor where I am. Laurel and Hardy had a suite up on the 11th floor. And I've only gotten out of body once since then. And there was like this gathering of people out in the hallway with tuxedos on. And I understand that this had been a place where some of the actors would come after the Academy Awards years ago.
Well, I guess you're in the right place. I mean, what I would say then, I mean, based on what you've said and what you'd like to do, I'd do it again, and I'd begin seeking advice. And who knows, you may rocket to the top. What is your first name?
My first name is Randy.
Randy.
Yeah.
Not as in the amazing, just Randy. So Randy, I'm going to have to remember your name, because one day when it's way up in the lights, I'll know why. We'll all know why.
Wow. Well, if anyone has experienced that out of body, or something that they could, some tip that they could give me on how I would go about, can you actually ask these people for it when you're out there like that?
Beats the hell out of me, Randy. I've never done it, but we'll ask the audience. All right.
Thank you. And I didn't mean to give that fake name up front, but I just...
No, it's cool.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Hey,
listen, one quick thing.
Yes, sir.
If you ever do make it big, do one thing for me.
And that is?
Use the name Randy.
The Amazing.
No!
No?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
No. Just use the name somehow Randy, all right?
Okay, I sure will.
All right, then we'll know. Thank you very much for the call. pretty interesting, huh? Who am I to say? Fascinating. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. This
Hello.
Is David in Denver.
David in Denver. Hi, David.
Yes, I was just wondering, whatever happened to Gordon Michael Scallion?
Well, Gordon is in retreat, and he has been for some time. Gordon began to be affected health-wise by what he was doing, and that's the last word I've had from him. He is not, at the moment, speaking publicly.
Oh, okay, because I know there's still the Ring of Fire in the Pacific is still pretty active.
You better believe it. I know. If I could have Gordon on, I would do so, and when he becomes public again, I will.
Okay, yeah, I was just really interested because I hadn't heard him in a while, and I guess it's been a couple of years since
yep.
you talked to him.
That's why.
He's a very interesting person. To
he's a very, a very, very interesting person, yes. So be it, rest assured, when we can, we will have Gordon Michael Scallion back on. And those of you who can remember from those years ago the predictions that he made still have not manifested themselves. But and people will from time to time send me email or something and say, see, he was wrong. No, he was not wrong. He said that when a certain cycle, a three-cycle Ring of Fire series of earthquakes would occur, and it would have to be three in a row, that would complete a cycle that would begin a really serious group of Earth changes. And we have never seen that cycle of three complete three times. So those who say he was wrong, you're wrong, because what he has predicted has not yet occurred. He only knew You know, people who do that kind of thing rarely, if ever, can give you a timeline. They can only say, when the following occurs, that will mean the following. And that's what Gordon Michael Scallion did. And we have not yet completed that cycle. We got very, very close once. We literally completed two-thirds of it. But the third part of the cycle never manifested itself. Has not yet. But as the caller points out, it's pretty active out there right now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Man, Art Bell, am I glad I got through to you.
I'm glad you did, too. Where are you?
This is John in Nashville.
Yes, sir.
I was about 40 miles west on I-40 at a quarter after 3.
This morning?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I seen something.
What did you see?
You got to excuse me. I'm a little bit excited.
I understand. Well, just be calm and explain. Were you driving?
Well, I was driving. I drive a truck. And first of all, I hesitated calling because I have a lot of friends that listen to this show.
I hear you.
And anyway, coming from the south to the north, it was a bright white line. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
Well, try harder. When you say a line, what do you mean?
It was a horizontal bright white light. It looked like it was several miles long, and it was streaking across the sky.
No, wait. You've seen spotlights, right?
No, yeah, I have seen spotlights.
All right,
this
so
was not
like
was
that.
An intense bright white light with a beginning and an end, almost like a...
Which you could see in the sky.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And it was going horizontal, straight line.
Right.
And it took a little bit of a bend. And then it stopped, and when it stopped, the trailing intense bright white light, it was like it caught up to the initial object and collected into a bright white light. And I thought, well, it's a shooting star, but it stopped.
No, shoot, no.
Then I looked closer, and it had red, green, and blue lights in a triangular shape, and I thought, well, it's a twinkling star. But the longer that I drove, I was about 40 miles west of Nashville.
How
as I drove, I got closer to it, Art.
Okay,
and
that's what I'm asking. Stop, pause for a minute. How high would you estimate it to be if you had to guess?
Cloud level, you know, maybe
cloud level.
Several
okay.
thousand feet.
All right, that would mean that it would have been seen over a very wide area. Would
that's
you agree?
Why I'm calling in, is maybe someone in Middle Tennessee other than me has seen this.
All right.
I mean, I don't know what it was, and I hesitate to say, you know, a spaceship or man-made or whatever.
No, you've
but,
done just fine.
Man, I've seen something that I wish you could have seen it.
I wish I could have, too. But I can do the next best thing. I can see if anybody else saw it, and I will do that for you, all right?
All right. I tried to get through to you back in April. I had a, you know, there's been stuff going on here. I know it. I don't know if you recall, it was in relation to Easter Sunday night with some relatives that were down from Chicago. And I've seen this again tonight, and it's unbelievable.
All right, my friend.
So maybe someone else has seen it.
Look, we'll find out right now, thank you. If anybody else in that area saw what this man saw, call now. The numbers you would use would be, I guess, east of the Rockies. At 1-800-825-5033, or the wildcard line, 702-727-1222. That sounds like a pretty serious sighting. From what he described, it almost sounds like the Star Trek, you know, something out of Star Trek, when they would go into a warp drive, the way he described it. I should have asked him if that was roughly accurate. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi. Whoops, wait a minute. Didn't press the button. There we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Juanita in Fresno.
Hello, Juanita.
Hi. Earlier you had mentioned placing different parts of animals in humans, and you may have, well, you might not have known, they've been using porcine valves for heart valve replacements in humans for 20 years or so.
I'm aware of that, yes. But suppose it becomes more massive. Suppose we begin using hearts, lungs.
Well, they used a baboon heart.
I know. I know.
And then the man with
but,
the
but,
AIDS.
But the baby did not live, you'll recall.
About 17 days, I think. But.
Yeah, not long. Certainly not enough to know what we know about this 57-year-old lady.
Yeah. And then, of course, the man with AIDS, they replaced his blood totally with...
baboon.
Was it baboon? I couldn't remember.
Oh, that's correct. And as far as I know...
He's still living.
That man is still alive.
Yeah.
And there would be obvious questions. But first of all, do you believe it's possible that the physical parts or blood of a person transferred to another could transfer some sort of genetic or holographic memory in those cells?
I wonder if it's that or that the people have... acquire an extrasensory or already have an extrasensory perception that just becomes, shows up at that time.
I would tend to doubt that, and I would think that the theory, the holographic theory, works for me, and that is that you are in every part of you, you. In other words, all of your cells, all of your makeup, contains the totality of you in some way,
and that
could be transferred.
Have you ever had a blood transfusion?
Never.
There's been a lot, I give my own blood to myself. There's a lot of
smart
people that won't take other people's blood, and what is it, Jehovah's Witness and a couple other religions?
Oh, yes.
Won't even take blood because apparently they believe there's something.
Well, a man
to
sent,
this,
yeah, that's right.
The
man,
life is in the blood.
Yeah,
and,
that's right, ma'am. A man sent me a fact saying in Japan that they don't do organ transplants because they believe the soul is contained in the physical body.
I heard it slightly different, that in Japan they don't do it because their idea of dead is both brain and heart dead,
yeah,
where if you wait for the brain to die, the organs are dead by that time. And that's why the little girl came over.
Yeah, but the way I understand the harvesting of organs, aside from a horrible little 60 Minutes piece I saw not long ago, they're supposed to wait for brain death before they take any organs?
Not necessarily.
Well, I said they're supposed to.
It depends on if the person signed an organ donor card and whatnot. There's things that can be given.
That you can't sign a card that says you can take my parts or I'm dead.
Well,
you can't do that,
really.
There
are different ways of determining death.
Well, now you're on to it. And it may have been that, according to the piece I saw, they have been a little hurried, shall we say, in some cases, in declaring clinical death in order to harvest absolutely fresh parts.
That could be true, but if the brain, if only the brain stem is functioning, there's no way of the life returning. And in those cases, they normally, there's no heart or anything else going. It's only kept going artificially. And I think we've always used for heart death, heart and breathing death, rather than brain death organ transplants.
We're getting into some pretty dicey areas.
Yeah. I've heard several stories, but they were in like The Sun and things like that, of people who had transplants and like some lady all of a sudden liking cigars and things like that.
Yeah.
But, I always sort of discounted those stories before.
Well, So have I. I'm not so sure now.
Yeah. I wonder, do you know anybody who had a pig valve or porcine valve replacement? Or?
Not personally, no.
I did, and it, well, I didn't like the lady, so I can't say whether. I didn't know her before, so I don't know if she had any.
You're not telling me that.
Change in. Well, she was very overweight.
That's disgusting.
But she did live another 10 or 15 years with it.
Did she tend to sort of, well, I hate to use the word.
Well, see, I don't know what she was like before.
Well,
I
was going to use the word wallow.
That,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, wallow.
But see,
oh,
I don't
horrible.
Know what
that's
she was
horrible.
Like before. She may have been like that before.
Uh-huh.
So I was curious of whether, you know, I can't remember hearing, you know, for her, I knew for sure that what exactly she had done. And so I was curious of whether.
Well, look, if you were on, you know, on your deathbed, I mean on your deathbed, and you had an organ failing, and you could get a oinker organ, would you go for it?
Probably not, because...
Really? It's the only thing we've got available, ma'am. You're going to be dead inside of 24 hours unless you let us do this.
I probably would not have an option of that.
Well, I know, but I'm giving you that option right now.
I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, although I do know that porcine valves are, you know, the closest thing.
Yeah, we're talking about an entire pig heart here. So.
I don't, well, the pig heart.
Is that a yes or a no?
To ours, so.
So maybe.
No, I don't think I would.
No,
I'd
wouldn't.
Rather die.
All right. Well, I hear you. Thank you very much for the call. We've got a break here at the bottom of the hour. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
You know what you're listening to here, don't you? This is a group called Cusco. And I'm in tight with Cusco. And I can tell you that beginning in July, I'm going to be able to begin playing the third part of the trilogy called Return to Native America. And I can't begin to tell you how excited I am and how I can't wait to do it. It's absolutely killing me. I know a lot more than I can say. Anyway, park that in the back of your head. The third part of the trilogy, the important one I've been waiting for is... Well, I can't talk anymore about it. But I can tell you that much. It's on the way. All right. I have on my website now the second photograph, a worldwide exclusive of the alleged interview with an interview? Interrogation of an alien creature at Area 51. It was sent to me this afternoon, and placed on the website about an hour prior to broadcast time tonight. It is a remarkable photograph, and here is a fax. Art, I have printed that photo on your website and have looked at it as carefully as possible under gross magnification. The size of the alien's cranium is amazing. This is not the configuration that one would see in a human. Of course, the eyes are not only large, but note the significant symmetrical light reflex, the dot-like shine in each eye in response to the photolighting source. The doctor, in quotes, appears to be demonstrating features of the mouth. If you look at the posture of both his hands and their position, it has a truly professional feel, in quotes, as well. If we could see the physician's face, particularly his eyes, I think we could get even more information. I don't know for sure, Art, given the limitations of this photo, but it looks real to me. Wow, what a picture. Yes, I know. And next week, Saturday at midnight Pacific, Victor, using a voice-changing device, is going to be here. And we're going to find out as much as we can. So we are actually privy now to two worldwide exclusives. One, of course, being the photograph that we have up there for you to look at now. And the other being the opportunity, even with a voice changer, to question Victor about what really happened in that interrogation room. About details. It's going to be absolutely fascinating, and I appreciate the opportunity to be doing this, and I'm trying to put together in my head exactly how I want to do it. I will treat Victor as I do all my guests, and I will allow Victor to tell his story as he wishes to tell it, and then you may be the judge of the veracity of what you hear. But I'm looking forward to that opportunity. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art. You know this partial birth abortion stuff?
Yeah.
Well, there was a mother and father was going to have their daughter at the thing, you know, testify in Washington, D.C. there or wherever.
What?
Was going to have their five-year-and-a-half-year-old daughter.
They have a five-and-a-half-year-old daughter. And what?
These people were going to at the hearings of the partial birth abortion.
And the five-and-a-half-year-old was going to testify to say what?
Well, she wasn't allowed in. Barbara Boxer fixed it in such a way they said,
Hello.
Yeah?
What was she going to say?
Guess they're going to show that she was healthy. She can, I guess, play computer games and stuff, what I heard. You know, and she, you know.
In other words, she was alive.
But she was supposed to have been
aborted?
Partially birth aborted, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And some of the people in Washington, D.C. there, and I guess Barbara Boxer worked around and said, no, the fetus cannot be there. But how could she be a fetus at 5.5 years old?
Well, she's not a fetus at 5.5 years old. That's just stupid.
I know.
All right, well, that's dumb. She's not a fetus. So, you know, I find that a little hard to swallow. I mean, you know, a 5.5-year-old child is a child, is not a fetus. Period. My attitude on abortion is that if truly the mother's life is at risk, in other words, if proceeding with the birth at the last minute in an emergency situation, a true emergency, not a choice of convenience, because that's morally reprehensible, and it's the equivalent of murder. However, if at the very last moment there is a choice between the life of the child and the life of the mother, and there is a near certainty that to continue with that, I mean, I can only tell you what I would do in my own case, all right? If my wife was pregnant, and the moment of birth was approaching, and the doctor came to me and said, if we proceed, there is almost a certain chance your wife is going to die, I would say proceed with the abortion. assuming my wife at that point would be under some sort of general anesthetic or something, and I was the only one who could make the choice. To me, it would be a no-brainer. It sure wouldn't be easy, but that sure as hell would be my answer. I would not be prepared to lose my wife. Would you? The other side of the coin is the politics they play with it. And that is that give them an inch and they'll take a mile. And if we are aborting children at the last minute, sucking their brains out, the scissors business and all that, for convenience, or even more horribly because you don't like the sex or something else of that child, then it's murder. Otherwise, it's a life versus a life, like the scales of justice. You've got to make a choice, a horrible choice, and I hope to hell I never have to make it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, it is. Are you talking to this person?
I am, depending on who this person is.
Unusual. This person's Amos. I just heard you make a remark about...
Amos, would you turn your radio off?
Please? Oh, where is it?
I don't know.
Hold
Amos.
On a minute.
You're there, I'm not.
It's pretty late.
I'll hold while you turn it off, Amos, at least for a moment here.
Yeah, I got it. Okay?
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you my background is medicine, and I followed this business quite well. And I think if you only had on the person that... I don't need to mention him, but he's the Black Avenger had on one day about 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You would know for sure that the doctor alone makes the determination, and he makes it long time before there's any danger. The people are lined up in rows for this thing. They do several, every doctor does several of them in a day, and the people are in the 2 or 3 days ahead of time to get themselves opened up, and the way you do it,
well, that's murder.
No, wait a minute. Yes, it is murder. Absolutely
right.
Is murder.
I have no argument with you, but also, hold it, sir. There are times when there are last-minute emergencies.
Well, that's,
God knows lots of women lots of women have died in childbirth.
Well, yes, there are quite a few that die in childbirth, most of them because they're doing it without a doctor at all. As my mother did, how many of us? 7 out of 9 my mother had. Without a doctor, and I'm the first one. So
that doesn't bear on this question.
No, but what does bear on this question is that these partial births, you must know that the baby is healthy, its toes are twinkling and moving, the doctor turns it around and pulls it out.
Sir, I know what happens.
Only the face is inside the womb.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Well, I don't think there's any excuse for thinking the woman's life is in danger.
Yes, there is.
I don't think one out of 1,000.
Well, if it's 1 out of 1,000...
You shouldn't have a doctor determine the other 999 they're going to be killed then and murdered.
I don't disagree with you.
Oh, I'm glad you don't. Now that I have you, and it's the first time I've been able to reach you in almost 2 years, I dial sometimes for an hour and a half in a row, the phone rings, and then the operator cuts it off.
I know.
But my background is in medicine and... science, and in history in the last 15 years.
Yes.
I'm in my 84th year, and I'm very, very adamant about the great lie that's being promoted for 51 years now that is, according to Dr. Henry Morris, the basis of all harmful philosophies and evil practices in the world today.
Which is what?
And that is this damnable, evil, bloody religion called science. I'm speaking of the pagan religion of evolutionism. There's not a stick of science to support it, not one tiny iota.
Okay.
I would like to be...
All right, sir.
I would like to offer to be on a program some night.
Well, you can offer if you wish, but on the face of it, you're beginning with something that is simply not true. You can't say there's not one stick of science, one shred of scientific evidence that evolution is true. There's all kinds of evidence that evolution is true. I'm sorry. Your statement is simply totally inoperative. It may not be a conclusive done deal, but your statement that there's not one shred of evidence indicating that evolution is a fact is absolutely ridiculous. So there would be no argument with you. You're accepting that as a matter of conviction, like a religion. So there would be no arguing with you. And with regard to the abortion, I'll simply refer you to what I said a little while ago. Even if it's one in a thousand, if a doctor told me that to continue with a birth would kill my wife, I'm telling you right now, there would be no choice. I would say, save my wife. And if you or anybody else got in my way, you'd have immediate physical problems. Do you understand? So, I don't begrudge you, sir, your belief system. But you try and get in the way of my wife's life, and yours won't be worth 2 cents, if you follow me. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Well, good morning to you.
How come people think it's okay to talk about pagans like that?
Well, they can... Look, this is open lines. They can say anything they want.
I know, but, you know, you don't hear people calling you up really just saying things like about black people like that. Sometimes they might.
You, oh, yes, you do.
Sometimes they might. Well, even the Pope made fun of us.
Yep.
Why do people think that's okay?
Because it's easy to pick on minorities, hon. That's why.
Well, it isn't okay, and it hurts my feelings.
Are you a pagan?
Yeah.
Define a pagan.
Well.
Yes?
A pagan is anybody who's not a Christian, number one.
Oh,
that's
come
according
on.
To their definition.
Oh, you mean the Christian definition?
Mm-hmm.
You, well, don't give me the Christian definition. Give me your definition.
My definition?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I've never been asked that before.
I specialize in doing those things.
I noticed.
I mean, you're saying I'm a pagan.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's a pagan? What do you believe? What do you believe that causes you to say I'm a pagan? Forget the dictionary definition. Let's hear Ten's definition of what a pagan is. Somebody who has broken all Ten Commandments?
No.
Somebody who does not believe there is a creator?
Oh, no. I believe in the goddess and the god. In fact, I think we're made in their image.
Somebody who worships idols?
What's an idol?
Oh, don't you remember idols? Don't you remember when Moses was up there getting the tablets and they were down there worshiping the golden idols? Yeah.
Could be, uh-huh.
So do you worship a golden calf?
Nope.
Or another type of idol like that?
Nope. I don't worship.
How about the dollar bill?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I've got a little shrine for $100 here, you know.
Hey, I have the dollar bill, or the $100 bill with your face on it right above here. I said, hey, man.
I was wondering who did that. Somebody made up a dollar bill with
you
my face.
You look pretty good, too. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, you know that guy who called, or faxed in and said you're ugly and you shouldn't be on TV?
I thought that was rude. Oh, no, it's all right.
Well, I don't think you're ugly, and I still don't want to see you on TV.
Thank you.
I know. I'm
That's
like,
good, because I'm really swearing it off.
Good.
I'll tell you what I've got.
I was so pleased to hear you say that.
Really?
Yeah, I really.
I'm swearing it off. That's it. I mean, that's it. And I'm getting offered TV programs and series now and all kinds of stuff, and I'm going to...
Oh, I bet. Well, no, I enjoyed when you were on Dark Skies. You know, that was kind of a neat little thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. But listen, I want to tell you, to prove my point, I don't watch Larry King. Tell you anything?
You know
what I mean?
I watch Larry King about once a year.
Yeah, well, I don't watch him at all.
Well, if he does something like on Area 51 or something like that, I'll watch that.
I think somebody videotaped that for me.
Yeah, see, there you are.
Can I say one more thing?
One more thing.
And then I'm going to go look up the definition of a pagan or figure one out. And
I wouldn't do that. I just stick with whatever you believe. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. About cynicism about the government, like you were talking about yesterday.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's this really, I don't know, people have this really weird attitude. And it's my opinion that the government doesn't make the nation. The people make the nation.
I agree with you. Thank you. And it accounts for why It's one of the reasons that I have ceased to generally talk about things political. I mean, I will do it occasionally if there's a specific real reason to do it. But you know what? Most of what's being done in Washington right now is irrelevant to our lives. And I really mean that. I have come to believe that who is president is more or less irrelevant. They are arguing about things that are utterly irrelevant to us, mostly for the sake of arguing. I really have come to that personal conclusion. And I am not going to devote hours and hours of arguing about things that don't make a damn bit of difference one way or the other. And if that is what you want to hear, then you can hear it up and down the dial all across America, because talk radio seems devoted to the holy grail of discussion of things like Newt Gingrich's fine or whatever else happens to be going on in Washington. It's utterly without redeeming value. And if it should acquire some, I will again talk about it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Margie in California.
Hi, Margie.
Okay, the definition of a pagan is one that does not believe in the tradition Christian beliefs.
Margie, would you yell into your phone for us? I heard that. Somebody who does not believe in traditional Christian beliefs. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't think of a Buddhist as a pagan.
But the Christians do.
Well, that's their problem.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. In other words, I disagree with the definition.
Mm-hmm.
To me, a pagan worships some sort of a golden calf, is a good example. And I think that God may be known by many names, and one of them may be Buddha,
mm-hmm.
Muhammad. There may be many names for our Creator, not just one.
And what that woman should, what I believe the woman should say is that she's Wiccan.
Well, I don't think she is Wiccan.
Well, Wiccans do believe in the god and the goddess.
Well, maybe she is Wiccan. I'll tell you
I'm
I'll do. You're Wiccan?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yes.
You're a witch.
Not in the Halloween tradition.
Well, let's not mince words here, but a Wiccan is a witch, yes?
Yes. And same way with, you know, Wiccan is male or female, and witch is male or female.
Did you see The Craft?
I think I've seen the previews of it.
Uh-huh. How long have you been a Wiccan?
I was initiated about a year ago.
About a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I used to be.
Look, I have a break here. Can you hold on through the news?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hang in there. Just rest easy on your broom. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning. The weekend has arrived already. They really are moving. It is the quickest. They're moving faster, faster, faster. Weeks are racing by, months and the years.
with me at all.
Nor me.
Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51.
I did it even before I did this all-night talk show. Okay, dismount the broom.
Yes. Do I ever dismount?
Can you tell me about the Wiccan religion? Is that proper?
Well, I don't know if you'd call it a religion.
What would you call it?
A belief.
Okay. Can you tell me about it?
Well, it's earth orientated, and I haven't been in it all that long to really be well versed on it, but I feel that it's you're honoring nature and life. And have you ever heard of the threefold law?
Threefold law?
Mm-hmm.
No, what is that?
Whatever you do.
All comes back to you threefold.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I like to think of it as a tenfold, because...
Other people call it karma, whatever.
Yeah, you could say that. Let's see, if you can imagine doing something bad towards somebody, and it coming back at you 10 times as strong,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to do that, would you?
There have been moments.
But think of it, if you did something to someone else,
yeah.
Bad...
Uh-huh. I have in my life.
And you've paid for it later, right?
Well, you never know. I mean...
One way or another, you have.
Well, you have... Yeah. Yeah. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
In other words, you pay for it, maybe not in things that occur to you, but your psyche is affected.
That, and also it could happen to you physically or financially or emotionally.
I don't disagree. But there may be times when it's worth it. That's the human part of me talking. In other words, I have been harmed by people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't stand for it. I harm back. Now, that's wrong, I know. Turn the other cheek and all that stuff. But I don't live by that. I don't turn the other cheek.
Well,
I put my fist right back in their face. You hear me?
Yeah.
So,
there's one time when...
So karma will get me, I'm sure.
And to give an example, there's one time that some money was stolen out of my purse.
Mm-hmm.
This other person laughed about it. They lost 10 times as much out of their wallet at a swap meet.
Times 3.
No, this one was 10 times.
They lost 10 times as much, you mean?
But see, the thing is that I didn't take part in that. I just said, okay, you'll pay for it. Sometime or another, you know. And it happened a second time. The same person laughed about something that happened to me, and something worse happened to him. And I says, remember the time that you laughed about me about the money? And then this last time, don't do that anymore. You're hurting yourself.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call, and you call me again.
Mm-hmm.
Will you?
Well, this is actually my second time calling. The first time I called was after the Flight 800.
Oh, yes.
And you were talking to this one guy about remote viewing.
Yes.
And I called you up and told you that I tried that out of curiosity.
Yes, I recall.
Yeah, and you kind of came down.
Well, there's a times three rule with talk radio, too. By the time you call 3 times, we've got you.
Well, this one was the first time today.
Yeah, but I mean... Collectively, you understand? All right, I got to run. Thank you very much for the call. From Dave in Ukiah, Dave says, Art, I have had an artificial heart valve made of titanium. I've had it for a year and a half now, and now I've developed a taste for WD-40. That's an ugly thought, Dave. How do you take it, Dave? Do you squirt it or use one of the spray bottles and just sort of slosh it around in your mouth and swallow? To answer the question of the people in the chat room right now on AOL, Yes, it is me. Every now and then I just pop in there. If you would like to join us, feel free. America Online. Go to keyword. You know, you check keyword up there at the top. And just type in Art Bell, my name. It'll take you to a place called the Periscope area, and you just click on the Grassy Knoll chat room. The Grassy Knoll chat room. I've always thought that was a particularly intriguing name for a chat room, the Grassy Knoll. And I am in there presently. Every now and then I just pop in, you know, and whenever I do, there is an immediate great argument about whether it's really Art Bell or not. Yes, it's really me. So if you'd like to join us and you're on AOL, that's where you go. The way you get there is just keyword, just type in my name and then click on the Grassy Knoll chat room and there you'll be. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
This is Phil from Little Rock, Arkansas.
How's everything in Little Rock this morning?
Oh, it's just great.
Good.
We in the Christian world kind of consider you a New Age voice crying in the wilderness. Or all the subjects that you talk about and everything are things that...
Actually, sir, you probably consider me to be the Antichrist.
No, sir.
No?
No. When we...
The devil's toe jam?
No. No, whenever... we hear these things, you know.
Talk about.
Yeah. It says for us to look up while redemption draweth nigh, that Jesus is coming. And that's what you call the quickening. That all the.
It's entirely possible.
The things that
in truth, you know, there are a lot of people who think I'm the devil himself.
Well,
I'm not.
I don't.
And I think it is equally possible that what I call the quickening will lead to the return of. The return of our Lord. And I don't rule that out, despite what a lot of people think. I think it's as possible as any of the other things we talk about.
Well, I believe that your program is one of the most necessary things in today's age, that the information that we're given, the subjects that are talked about.
Well, how refreshing. You mean you don't want me tarred and feathered and drawn and quartered and run out of town on a rail? Or shot with a rail gun?
No, I think you should come on earlier in the night and stay on longer.
You do, huh?
Yes, sir. It's really refreshing and delightful. I've studied all the subjects that you talk about for 25 years now.
You really think I ought to come on early? I'll tell you what I want you to do, okay?
Okay.
All weekend long this weekend, let's try an experiment. I want you to concentrate as hard as you can on the idea of me coming on earlier.
Okay.
Okay?
Can you promise
me to try that?
I'll be praying about it.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Cindy in Kansas City.
Hello, Cindy.
You're already off the air here, but I've been dialing so long it's kind of become obsessive compulsive for me.
So you just keep dialing?
Yeah, I just keep dialing and keep dialing. Listen, you were talking about spontaneous combustion earlier.
Oh, yes.
Several years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, I saw a special on television about this very subject, and a doctor went around and investigated all the known reported cases in the world
right.
at that time, and found that there was no class of people that this happened to primarily, or age group, or race, or anything like that.
No pattern. It just happens.
No pattern, but there... They found only one common denominator among all of them was that they seemed to eat a lot of shredded wheat for some reason.
Really? Shredded
yeah.
wheat?
Honestly, I swear.
I mean, I could understand it if they were ingesting lighter fluid, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, how does shredded wheat put you into flames? Especially if you... I mean, nobody can take shredded wheat without milk,
well,
right?
He didn't say. He just said that that seemed to be the only thing that all the people had in common was that they ate shredded wheat. And most of them ate a lot of it.
Huh.
This even happened to a 17-year-old schoolgirl walking home from school one day. She just burst into flames.
I don't want to believe that could occur.
Well, aren't you getting so big, 360-some affiliates now?
Yeah.
Good Lord, I've been trying to dial you for 2 hours. I've listened to you for 4 years, and I used to be able to get you every time.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people out there now. I really try real hard not to think about that, you know?
Oh, hey, listen, I ordered absolutely fresh flowers for my mother for Mother's Day.
Oh, did you?
Oh, she loved them.
Oh, well,
she had flowers for the neighbors, flowers for people at work.
It really is the deal.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you some other time. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. Take care. I don't want to think about how big the show is getting. Hello, Art Bell. This is Dean from Venice. Are you familiar with the program content of ABZ Nightline for Friday night? Yes, I am, actually, Dean. This fax is to inform you of the topic for those of you that did not see it. I believe you'll find it interesting and hope you'll discuss it on your show. They covered alien life forms, mainly of microbiological and bacterial origin. They stated that a probe was sent to the moon before the Apollo mission. In that probe was a solar panel that an installation technician sneezed on. The bacteria left on the panel was launched to the moon. The probe stayed on the moon for 2 years in a zero-oxygen, highly radioactive environment. When the Apollo NASA mission retrieved the probe, they discovered the bacteria to be alive and active. Scientists are concerned that bringing soil samples back from Mars could contain microbial life forms that are not killed by the harsh environment of space. They spoke about the very real possibility that these life forms could have serious negative impact on Earth. If you have seen this Nightline segment, I would like to hear your opinion and ask you to open the topic for discussion. Yeah, sure. Dean, by the way, thank you for the facts, Dean. I think that's pretty good evidence that such a thing is indeed possible. And that if we bring back material objects, rocks, whatever, such a thing could occur. However, bear in mind that the Earth is constantly being bombarded by meteorites of various size, many of which do not burn up in the atmosphere, one of which we now know contains microbial life from Mars. So if that danger was real, then we should have already been infected by, and perhaps are infected by, and one day will be infected by, something from somewhere else that doesn't quite burn up completely in the atmosphere. So I would think the risk of bringing back something from Mars would be no bigger than we experience as a general basis as meteorites re-enter and make it. Just my thought. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Mel.
Hey there.
Hey, this is Joe from Mel's Hole, Washington.
There's no such town.
Yeah, well, you know Mel's Hole, right?
Of course.
I was the guy that called you about the hose reel, remember? Trying to reel up the fishing line.
The 80,000 feet of monofilament?
Yeah, 80,000 feet of monofilament. Told you to put it on a garden hose reel.
Yeah.
Now you know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, I just got in from the field, and I noticed you're talking about some pretty obscure stuff here.
I always do.
Well, I got a couple riddles for you. It was given to me by my father. And they seem pretty simple and pretty innocent enough, but maybe you want to dwell over them, and there might be somebody out there that can give you a better answer to them than I've come across.
Let me hear it. I generally don't like this kind of thing.
Okay. Dad, the first thing Dad told me was, how can you say you've been there if you've never been there before? That was one.
Let me stop you right there. How can you say you've been there if you've never been there before?
Right.
Where is the riddle in that?
That's just common sense. It's a thing. It was something to think about.
Why?
Well, I guess it means deja vu, maybe. See, and then the other one is.
Well, that's the answer to the riddle. Deja vu.
I don't know.
What do you know? Do you know what the definition of déjà vu is?
You've been there before.
You feel that you have been there before,
right?
Even though you have not. So the if that is a riddle, that is the answer.
Right, and that's what I thought it was.
All right, well, I'll hear one more from you.
Okay, the second one is, learn to see beyond the end of your nose, and you shall know the ways of life.
Grasshopper.
That's the second one.
Grasshopper.
Well, no, my dad was a half-Native Indian.
I see. All right, well, that's something that would have been said to Grasshopper probably in one of the early grades. Right? Something about the nose. Sounds Chinese. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is my first attempt this morning to call you.
We'll see. And now, see, you get people on here that have been saying,
I've been trying for a year and a half.
And then you get somebody, of course, that's why we have the first time caller line.
Well, I will tell you, it's not without great diligence this morning. My name is Brian, and I'm calling from Friendswood, just near Houston.
All right.
And you have gone off the air, but I keep on trying. We pick you up at about 1 a.m., and we carry you until 4 a.m.
That seems reasonable.
It is. I wish you could be on longer.
I wish we could, too.
Even more so.
But, I mean, you know, radio stations have things they do.
Very true. Very true. As a matter of fact, I've done a little radio time myself on the West Coast.
It's sometimes like doing jail time, huh?
Very much so. Very much so. You have to stick to a schedule. Everyone does.
That's exactly right. And at the same time, every night, the door closes.
Yes, it does. I've got three basic topics I would like to ask you real quick, each one being very short.
All right.
Number one, have you seen the latest issue of Popular Mechanics?
The movement of Area 51.
Correct.
I don't believe it. Next.
That's what I was going to ask you, whether it was information or disinformation.
I would say disinformation. That would be my take on it.
I read the article. It seemed rather apropos for this time.
Yeah, but see, they've annexed more land around what we know as Area 51.
Very much
and,
so.
And so why do that if you're going to move it? Next question.
Very much so. Your book, The Quickening.
Yes.
I was going to mention to you that it very much falls in line with the sign of the times.
Oh, I know.
I don't want to be biblical with you, but I guess...
Yeah, that's all right. You can be as long as it's not quoting Scripture.
Oh, well, I guess I can't then.
That's right, you can.
But it is very much like a woman in labor. You know how the...
Yes. Yeah, the first... Actually, that's one definition of the quickening is the first... feeling or flutter of life.
Very much so. You have the pain becomes greater.
Yep.
And it becomes quicker.
Yeah, I didn't name it that lightly. Third topic?
And a third topic is Father Malachi. I heard earlier this evening a gentleman talking about Father Malachi.
That's right.
I listened to your program a few nights ago with Father Malachi on the show, and to my amazement, I have two jobs. I'm a screenwriter in the day, and I deliver papers at night.
And?
Don't ask me. That's very strange. I was listening to the program, and one of the stops that I made talked with me and said, did you know that Father Malachi is on? And I said, where have I heard that? I'm listening to it now, listening to Art Bell talking with this gentleman, and for the last half hour I've been trying to figure out, where have I heard Father Malachi before? Well, I just happened to be reading his book.
Oh, Windswept House?
Yes. No, sir. It is The Keys of This Blood.
Right, that's right.
One of his older books.
Yes. Sir, I'm going to have to cut out on you here.
Okay.
Bottom of the hour, thank you. And I will mention this just to the audience quickly. My book is going to be ready to ship out on Tuesday. You can still get a first edition, second printing copy of The Quickening. Still can get a signed copy, autographed copy. You can order right now, and they'll ship on Tuesday.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 16th, 1997.
Oh, I love these girls. They put the Spice Girls into the dirt, no question about it. Anyway, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. Final segment. Can you believe it already? Here we go again. Anything goes east of the Rockies. You're on the air. And, oh, by the way, good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you.
You was talking earlier about in 50 years what the president then would be apologizing for.
Well, first of all, let me first ask you, do you think it's probable that in another 50 years we will have to be apologizing for what we're doing today?
Probably.
Yeah, me too. All right, so what do you think?
The way it's going with cloning, it'll probably be the Clinton clone in 50 years.
You mean, well...
Yeah, they went back and got his DNA and cloned Clinton.
There's reason enough right there to get to, we need a law. Because, Clinton, good, bad, or whatever, has the ability, I think, to become endlessly reelected. And if they could clone him, that would mean a Clinton future for our grandchildren and their grandchildren and on and on.
The living nightmare. But what I called about, you said you ought to have somebody talking, being with you when you talk to Victor.
Yes.
What about the reverse speech guy? That way Victor's telling the truth.
No, because he can't do it instantly. That's got to be a sort of a thing later. It takes time to review and then come back later. But I don't, a good question. I wonder if they can do reverse speech with a voice changer.
That's what I was wondering when he started talking like it. But have you thought about that reverse speech guy doing the interview you had with the man that flew into
Area 51?
Yeah.
That'd be a winner. That'd be a winner. And I'll tell you what else I've had a lot of requests for. Reverse speech analysis of the NASA guys.
Uh-oh. First from the Clinton clone to the NASA people telling the truth, I don't know if the world could take it.
Well, I've heard a number of reversals on President Clinton. And now that you've brought it up again, I say again, we must have a law. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, it's really too intense to even contemplate, even if you like President Clinton. Surely you wouldn't want an indefinite future with Clinton after Clinton after Clinton after Clinton. Hell, I couldn't even take that with George Bush. West of the Rockies? Whoops, no you're not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. This is Jerry in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, Jerry.
I thought about something that we were talking about earlier as far as the people, about people using other people's organs.
Yes.
Let's say somebody would put a serial killer or somebody's organs in. That's something to think about.
I thought about it myself, yeah. That would be pretty awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I asked you once before, what's the name of the music you play on Dreamland?
It's called the Oh of Pleasure.
The Oh of Pleasure.
The Oh of Pleasure.
And who's the grouper, the person who plays?
I figured you'd ask that. I can't remember.
Okay, well, thanks.
I'm sorry, I usually know, I can usually remember, but now that you've asked, I cannot remember.
Okay. Thanks, Art. Bye-bye.
Good night. This is the music that he's referring to, and since he mentioned Dreamland, let me see here. You know what we're going to be talking about this week? Dreams. Dreams. Dr. Robert Langs is the author of The Dream Workbook and The Daydream Workbook. And we are going to take a medical look
at dreams. A scientific, medical look at dreams. This is not dream interpretation. We're going to be talking about dreams from a medical point of view on Dreamland this week. Don't miss it, coming up Sunday. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Rick calling you from the L.A. area.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, I once requested that you have Colonel James Ammerman on, and I called his office, and they said that he's supposed to come on sometime on 11 o'clock show, and it was Art Bell's show.
Well, I have received no such communication, so I don't know how they could be saying that.
Did you call him?
I think I did make a call, but there was no schedule set up, as I recall. We didn't finalize anything, so...
Should I have them call you again?
Well, yes. Have them fax me or something, yes.
Yeah, because they call the 1-800 West of the Rockies line. That's probably what, because they're east of the Rockies, so I got to give them the east of the Rockies line.
That would make all the sense in the world. Better yet, give them my fax number.
Oh, I don't have it, Art.
It's you want it ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Area code 702.
702.
727.
727.
8499.
8499.
Yes, sir.
You've got to have him on there, Art. He's got a lot to say about the Flight 800 downing, you know.
All right, I'll listen.
Okay, thank you, Art.
Right, take care. I'll certainly listen. We were touching on that last night, the Flight 800 business with Richard Hoagland. And Richard did point out something kind of interesting. On television, they have never shown the other side of the plane. They always say there is no apparent impact or exit point. As you know, in other words, if a missile hit an airplane, presumably there would be an impact, showing an inward fluxing of the metal of the fuselage as they put it back together again. And he did point out something that is, I think, right, and that is whenever they show the plane, they only show one side of it. You never get a camera look around of the entire airplane. That doesn't mean that there's something they're hiding, but he did make a pretty good point. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, I was just calling.
I can barely hear you, ma'am.
Sorry, one of these portable phones.
Do you have a real phone there?
No, just one of these portable ones.
All right, that's better. That's better. Just get right into it.
Okay, yeah, the woman was calling a while back talking about brain death.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a critical care nurse, and I've worked in critical care for 9 years and involved in several...
Talk into that phone, ma'am.
Oh, so I've been involved in several organ donation...
Right.
...cases, and we've got two criteria. I don't know if it's different in other states, but in Washington, they have to have no spontaneous respirations and... No brain function other than brainstem, and they're not technically brain dead, but.
Well, there was a 60 Minutes piece several weeks ago, in which there was no doubt about it, ma'am. Before some of the things you just talked about occurred, they were harvesting organs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it depends on the nature of the injury of the patient. If there's pretty much no brain functioning other than just baseline, they usually won't.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call, but I'm not going to hold you on the line because you're just drifting away from your phone there. When you call, you've got to stay right into the phone, or pretty soon we're not hearing you. Some people have a habit of doing that. They'll make a call, and the phone, as they're talking, will slowly drop down further and further until it's finally laying on their chest. You can't do that. You got to talk right into the phone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Josie from Richmond.
Hi, Josie.
I've been difficulty getting a hold of you, but now this is the questions or the little information that I have for you about Mr. Rosenthal. When you had Richard Hoagland on the air,
yes,
Friday, Saturday, April 25th and 26th,
yep.
Richard said to, hey, everybody call the your national news of Ted Koppel and Mr. John Holloman.
Yes.
Well, I knew that the papers all copy the AP, so I called the AP service, and they directed me to this science writer called, guess what, Mr. Rosenthal. So, yes. and so I thought you would like to know that I believe I referred Hoagland's website ad, they're all in a hurry. They're never... able to really hear. They hear just some of the main points, and I said, look, NASA has decided they're not going to Europa. You know how important that was to most of us who thought there was life there or that there's a possibility of life there.
Yes.
I said for $100 million, the cost, one-fifth the cost of a bomber, we could send a...
Well, now, wait a minute. Who were you actually speaking with?
Mr. Rosenthal.
You were speaking
to
Harry Rosenthal?
Yes, I was. And so he said, thank you very much. You know, he got the website address. I can't remember if I gave the phone number for Richard Hoagland, but I certainly gave the website address. I think he was interested in that. I also talked to John Holloman, happened to get a hold of him at CNN. He said, we've already checked into that, and, you know, they are going to Europa. You know, like that was false.
That's not entirely true. From NASA said was that there will be other missions, and because of the intense interest in Europa, it probably will be done.
Right, but it was for way in the future.
That's right.
You know, Holloman just said it wasn't true. Now, then you had your NASA people on there, and they said they weren't going.
They said that in the present, with regard to the present decisions that have been made, with regard to the proposals that were made, Europa's proposals, quote, did not make the cut.
That's right, exactly. That's why I was confused. So that's why I did. I sent you a fax on all this, but you get lots of faxes. I don't know if you. I sent a fax yesterday. I don't know if you received it, but I do have a local news service telephone number for the AP news service. If you're interested in that.
Also, well, I can't give it out on the air until.
For the AP news service telephone.
Yeah.
Because I knew you had their fax.
But that's right. But that was confirmed, and you know, on the possibility that we get a number wrong, we're in big trouble. So
this is what the people here gave me as their telephone there, and of course also Dan Golden was on Nightline this past week, I think it was.
That's right.
They had a thing on Nightline. Are you realize about the MIR subsidies?
Yes.
He was very defensive in his posture.
That's right. NASA is very defensive right now. Thank you about their MIR. Involvement. Their mere involvement. Mm. A lot of congressmen are beginning to get a little irritated with regard to our involvement with MIR. Why are we involved with MIR? Have you asked yourself that question? Why are we launching space shuttle missions to maintain MIR? Why are we contributing oxygen equipment to keep MIR going? Why do we have an American on a spacecraft that I don't think is entirely safe, despite what NASA's said all week long? I don't have the answer to any of those questions. I would like to proceed with our own space station. Instead, we have joined the Ruskies for whatever reason. It really never has been explained satisfactorily. So I'll leave it at that for now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm calling from Lihue, Kauai, Hawaii.
Hi, Mike.
A couple weeks ago, you're talking about you had an author or someone making a book called Lucifer's Hammer.
Yes.
And I just finished reading it.
Dr. Jerry Purnell, it is a wonderful book, isn't it?
Yes, it's very good. I'm just wondering if you had, on your web page, if you had anything with any other good book reads or anything?
I suppose I ought to construct a list, like Wayne Greene does, of books that you absolutely have to read.
Yeah.
But presently, I do not have that, no.
Okay.
But it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get a cat page, we can have a book page.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure. That's true. One more quick question?
Yes.
Did you ever have George Lucas on?
No, but I'd love to.
Because I've read all of his books, and, I mean, it's just a fascinating world that he's created with his mind and all these other authors.
Oh, I'd love to. Now, he'd be a blast to have on, sure.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. I will have anybody on, if you haven't figured that out yet. Virtually from any discipline at all. Anybody who is interesting, I'll have on. Happy to. I don't, you know, to me there are no limits. Why would anybody want to set limits for what they would do with regard to, say, a program like this, talk radio? Why would you want to set limits? Foolish. And yet the entire industry does it. one day they'll figure it out. Like the old liners in talk radio have this vision that talk radio must be...
It must be political. It must discuss things like the budget. The budget. The balanced budget.
Newt Gingrich is fine. The president's latest malady. Or problem with some lady who's going to sue him, when, you know, whatever. It's like they have an idea that that is what talk radio must be, and they have this narrow vision of it. One of these days, they'll open their eyes, hopefully before their pocketbook evaporates. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is Fred up in Tacoma.
Hi there.
Hey, I was referring... I want to refer back to that woman that was on about an hour and a half ago with the... transplants with the cravings and such?
Yes.
Well, I had a transplant about 2.5 years ago, and about 6 months after I had the transplant, I started craving root beer for a real long time.
What was transplanted?
Oh, my liver.
Your liver?
Yeah.
And you started wanting root beer?
Oh, yeah, really bad. It was like I'd go to a drive-in, and I'd have this really strong craving for root beer. And I had this craving for like a year and a half.
Hmm.
And it just tapered off, and... very strange.
Well, do you know who the donor was?
No, I don't.
Do you want to know?
I think at this point, no.
And previous in your life, you had not ever particularly been a root beer kind of person?
This is true. I was more of a, you know, of a Coca-Cola type of person.
Dave up in Ukiah sent me a fact saying that he had an artificial heart valve.
Uh-huh.
And he's had a craving for WD-40 ever since. You know, they have these...
That's a good one.
Made of titanium.
Yes. I wonder how he gets it in.
I don't know. I guess he sprays it. Maybe he snorts it.
Oh, man, that'd be painful.
A
red tube, huh?
Well, yes, it would. It certainly would. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Take care. The only way you could verify, you know, whether the organ was causing that craving would be to research your donor and to find out if that person talked to the family, had a big thing for root beer. And, you know, I'd say there's better than not that they did. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hello, Art Bell.
Hello there. Where are you?
Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas.
I was your first caller when you... came to 570.
No kidding.
Yeah. Listen, I know you're almost out of time, and I wanted to let you know, along the lines of apologies.
Yes.
For the president. About two or three nights ago, I heard on one of the other local stations, I think it was the national news feed, they said that I think 1961 or 1962, the government sprayed some kind of a thing like with a crop duster. Anyway, it was a cancerous agent. And
where? Where?
Over the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, also okay. Waco and Denton.
Oh, my God. Listen, maybe fortunately the program is now over. Only time for you to get the honors. Do it. Go ahead, do it.
You've been listening to Art Bell, coast to coast.
That's it, I guess. All right. Good night, America. Good night, Cosmos.